With the opposition leader conceding defeat, Malcolm Turnbull can now form a government, even with seats still undeclared. The focus now moves to the Senate, where the outcome is even more murky. A number of crossbench parties are keen to protect Australian industry, but this may be in conflict with the government's economic agenda. Roderick Chambers has more.
Although the Governor-General is now out of the country, Bill Shorten is today keen to get a government sworn in.
Now, Mr Turnbull has the opportunity to form a government. It's been an 8-week election. There's been now 9 days of counting. I think it is incumbent upon Mr Turnbull to form his government as quickly as he can.
Minister for Industry Christopher Pyne appears to be happy with Mr Shorten's approach.
I'm grateful that Bill Shorten has indicated that he wants to work with us in a cooperative way.
But whilst the lower house makeup is becoming clear, there is no date yet for the resolution of the seats in the Senate. Nick Xenophon, leader of the largest crossbench party, Nick Xenophon Team, has been talking with other crossbenchers and is not ruling anything out in his negotiations with the government.
Everything's up for negotiation. We need to work with our other Senate colleagues because whatever differences I may have with some of my Senate colleagues, we want to find common ground, and we think there will be common ground with a majority of the crossbench in relation to manufacturing, in relation to R&D, in relation to boosting jobs and ensuring, for instance, that Australian farmland stays wherever possible in Australian hands, because our current national interest test is too vague and too ineffective.
A big industry concern for Senator Xenophon is the viability of the Arrium steel operation underpinning the economy of Whyalla in South Australia.
It's not just about Whyalla, not just about South Australia. It's a national issue to ensure that we save Australia's structural steelmaker, because without structural steelmaking, you end up losing a manufacturing base in this country. Thousands of steel fabrication businesses around the country would suffer as well.
Christopher Pyne on the ABC this morning said the government was getting Arrium back on track.
We've got Arrium back on track. That's number one. Number one, we've got it back on track. We've got it back on track by doing a number of things. Abolishing the carbon tax, bringing forward the 72,000 tonnes for the Adelaide Tarcoola rail line, which is worth $80 million for Arrium. I've imposed duties of up to 53% on Chinese imported steel. We put forward a proposal to effectively purchase their beneficiation plant to improve reduce the cost of them actually creating their products and taking a stake in the business, and we will continue with that proposal. If there are other measures, of course we'll look at other measures in concert with the state government and in concert with Senator Xenophon and others.
And clearly the government is keen to negotiate with Nick Xenophon, who is saying that even the ABCC and registered organisation bills are up for negotiation. These were the bills that the election was called on. But he's critical of the government's efforts in effectively cutting R&D funding in its past budgets and appears to echo the views of Labor spokesman Senator Kim Carr.
Well, absolutely. There's a case for R&D funding across the board. Manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, drives innovation. It drives jobs growth. It drives our success in export markets. And as a nation, we've been pretty poor in the way we've tackled R&D.
But if the government does make concessions to support manufacturing industries, does this break some of the recently signed free trade agreements? I put this to the Australia Institute's Matt Grudenoff.
There's any number of ways it could go. So there's a lot of wriggle room about whether or not the things that the Senate can do without intervening on them or without treading on them. But there is also ways that we can modify those agreements or exit those agreements if Australia truly wanted to do that. They're not binding for all time.
And the biggest issue is the powers contained, allowing companies to sue the Australian government if their decisions adversely affect these businesses.
Certainly the things that probably are most problematic for any changes to our legislation are the provisions that allow private firms overseas to sue the Australian government if the new laws infringe on their profitability, the ISDS provisions, and they're probably the ones that will mostly come into focus. And they were the ones that I think most people were most concerned about putting in the free trade agreement. That is, the idea that foreign companies can hold Australian governments or Australian parliaments hostage to changing laws was most problematic.
And along with Andrew Wilkie, Nick Xenophon is also invested in limiting poker machines and gambling, another problematic area on the horizon for the government.
We know from the Productivity Commission there are 400,000 people either with a significant severe gambling problem, a gambling addiction, or well on the way to developing one. And each of those problem gamblers affects the lives of seven others on average, according to the Productivity Commission. That's a big deal. Upwards of 10% of the population who have been hurt by gambling addiction in this country.
Senator Nick Xenophon ending that report by Roderick Chambers.